Welcome back to the Real O Show podcast. Today we have on Tyler Schmidt, co-host of the Car Talk podcast and one of the best humans we've ever met. We chopped it up about his decade-long journey working alongside Gary and AJ Vaynerchuk and what the biggest changes he's seen since his first day until the present. We also go back in time to discuss his childhood, trials and tribulations at Penn State, and his love for lacrosse. We really hope you enjoy this one, and as always, please leave us a review and share with others. Hope you enjoy. I gotta stack out this gold. I tell you I'm on a roll. About to get all this dope. We ain't no fuck niggas, no. I swear to God, we the ghost. To introduce our guest, our special guest,
to
the podcast, which we've been slow playing getting, you know, Tyler Schmidt on the pod. We've been slow playing, we've been, you know, building it up for a long time. We knew it was gonna happen, and Tyler's been like a brother to like me and obviously Joshua since moving out here. And what's funny, we'll say it, Tyler's like the same age as our oldest brother, Tyler. So it's like really
weird.
You know, the simulation ran out of names. Funny. So you know, we have Tyler Schmidt on today, co-host of the Car Talk Pod. Which, if you're seeing it on video,
thank you for repping the shirt today.
If you see it on video, bro,
that made sense.
Yeah, we're rocking it.
Sure,
and it's a pleasure to have you on, Tyler.
Thanks for including me. Thanks for having me. We had a nice little work sesh today.
Hey.
Came over. I think got here a little before 12:30. And we've been working. Now it's 6:30.
It's funny.
I feel like it was necessary to kind of set the mood for the
recording. We've been working all day, which kind of like should lead into the segment. Can you give us a little, like, you know, 10,000 foot view of you, yourself, what you're doing, how you kind of got to where you are today?
Yep. Well, my name is Tyler Schmidt. I grew up in Montclair, New Jersey. I have an older sister and a younger sister, middle child. I come from a pretty big family that all lived close by with each other. So, like, just ton of cousins, ton of family on top of each other. Holidays were always the best. Went to public school up till college, and then I went to Penn State. Graduated Penn State 2013. My senior year was when Paterno went down. That was something.
What a tough senior year.
Yeah, and I was a diehard Penn State fan. My dad, his brothers went there. I was a huge Penn State football fan. That was brutal.
Yeah, that's a tough time.
Yeah, the whole school was like a mess.
Yeah, devastating.
But that was a good time. 4 years there. I studied hospitality. I graduated. I got a job in hospitality, and like I quit after like 4 months. I just hated it. And the guy that I was working for, I told him I wanted to work in marketing and tech, and it was kind of early iPhone, social media days. This is mid-2013, late summer 2013. It's like 10 years ago. I left the job in like September. So just about like 10 years. November will be 10 years that I've been working at Vayner. Quit with no understanding of what I was going to do, but except didn't want to work in hospitality, which I just got my degree in. And the guys that I was working for, they connected me. I met an amazing person, Shahar, who now we do business with. She's at Meta. 10 years later, she connected me to someone named Mickey Cloud. Went into the city, had a coffee with this guy. He's like, we have a marketing agency, yada yada. I was a referral. There were some openings. They were growing at the time. Interviewed. Did okay, I guess, and got an offer to work at Vayner just as a community manager. I was 10 years, November, blah, blah, blah. I was 22. I was 22 when I started, and it's just been a journey since. It was great. There was like 250 people. The offices at the time, I think, was just New York and San Francisco.
Right. So you've grown a lot with the company.
Yeah, it's been cool.
It's got to be like a different thing now.
Totally different beast. Oh, man. Yeah, well, you know, there's the company part of it, and then there's the Gary's growth, personal brand growth. But it was also just different times. I mean, 2013 fall, I start at VaynerMedia as working on brand, community manager. We're doing social media for brands.
Yeah.
We still do it.
Yeah, we still
do. You work on it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bro, there wasn't video on Facebook.
Yeah.
There wasn't video on Instagram.
I was going to say, I'm trying to think about 2013, like Instagram, just pictures. Facebook, just pictures. Yeah. There was Twitter.
And Instagram was like, it was like filters. Like,
yeah. Oh, heavy filters.
It was
filters.
Just like that,
deep,
bro.
Like, it was like the deep fry.
And I was on Brisk. Brisk, I believe, was the first brand to post content on Instagram.
That's interesting.
Yep. And the what we would do for brands is we'd create social content. We'd create content calendars. A community manager would pair with an MCP, a micro content producer.
Yeah.
And you'd come up with a content calendar, and there was Facebook groups.
Right.
And so what you would do is, like, Brisk Iced Tea had a Facebook group, and you try to grow the Facebook group following. And it was all organic content, which kind of TikTok and Reels has fully brought back organic content.
For
but there
sure.
was a while organic content meant nothing. But all of it, there was no, I was at Vayner for like almost a year before, you couldn't run ads on Facebook. There was no media.
That's wild. Boy, have things changed.
The production studio was like as big as your kitchen. And it was just people hustling. So like just the narrative around all of it, social was completely different.
Yeah.
Twitter was young. Facebook was just like its own thing. Yeah, Gary had less than 10,000 followers on Facebook. Andy, D-Rock all started that same time. And you know, AJ was the COO. He was 25, 26, 26 maybe.
Like, yeah.
Smart as fuck just running this company, bro.
Yeah.
It was sick. It was really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of OGs. What would you say would be like the craziest time working at Vayner where you were like, oh, fuck.
I mean, it was probably like the year before we moved to Hudson Yards. So we moved in, I think, 2016, I think was when we moved. But like the best part is all on Daily V. So like one of my favorite Daily V episodes was moving out. Like we moved out of the office. Like, and it's crazy now.
It's
an all-time episode.
I miss the Daily V's.
Moving
Daily
day,
V's are
Daily V's were all
they were all time. That's Gary's best content.
Yeah, it's just, for sure. Yeah. It's like forever cemented.
Yeah.
But like you know, you guys was I feel. You know, I have pretty firm thoughts on remote work and all that, but like, bro, it was better than college.
For sure. I bet.
It was better than college.
I mean, like,
I was getting paid.
I mean,
and we were working, like, it was all just the homies working. Like,
for
and
sure.
People were working hard. You know, this is like, this was Gary in his prime. Like,
I mean,
that motherfucker was working hard. He was 7 a.m. to midnight.
For sure. I mean, I always think about like, before I moved to New York, I always would think about like Wolf of Wall Street when he's like sitting there on the mic, just fucking yelling into it. Like everyone's like screaming. That's how I think
about
it.
That's how it was.
But that's like even like
two floors, like all hands, like everyone knew each other. Like,
oh yeah.
Boom.
I couldn't imagine a Wine Wednesday with two floors.
Oh, Wine Wednesday was lit. This whole crew had this Whiskey Wednesday thing going on. The boom box would get popping. But that thing was like everyone was just like
it was so popular.
People that liked social,
right?
Yeah. And it was the agency was this little like social shop. You know what I'm saying? Like social wasn't
COVID has definitely changed things, but it's like it's slowly coming back. Like you can see, there's
social was a thing that people did on the internet just like for fun.
For fun,
it used to be just fun. And then like brands were like doing like one off shit that would work.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like
for sure.
Now social's like just advertising in your face with like people hating on each other all over the place.
It's
just come a long way. So it was just different. So the company was made up of people that just like liked social, which meant they were innovative. Startups were ripping. Airbnb every other week it was like new companies were starting, and it was just like this heyday, you know, really like 2013 really to COVID, because economic, there was just 0% interest rates. People were just ripping. Bro. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And that tech was growing. Facebook was ripping. You know, Uber was invented. Like, and Gary was on the forefront of all of it.
Right.
And then just had this agency of just young people just
hustling.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
So you're grinding. Obviously, you're one of the hosts of Car Talk.
Yeah.
How did that kind of come to fruition? I know you kind of told us a little bit that you guys were just hustling. Like, obviously, you're a card fanatic, collectible fanatic. Been in the collectibles game for probably, arguably, your whole life.
Yep.
Like, how did that come about? Like, where? Because obviously, like Zachary and I, we love podcasting. We did one time. Yeah. We're like, fuck, we need to do that.
Yeah.
So, like, how did that kind of come about? You guys
building. So 1:37 p.m. Card Talk is a podcast that's a part of 1:37 p.m. and it covers all things sports cards, collectibles, trading cards, Pokemon, whatever.
Right.
Right. And so to kind of give context, 1:37 p.m., Gary and VaynerMedia acquired a publishing company called PureWow. It's a women's lifestyle publication founded by a gentleman named Ryan Harwood. Yeah. Gary wanted to add a publishing arm to the advertising media business. It's another way to do business in the industry and in a way where you can kind of avoid some conflicts because you're just doing direct media buys and not like AOR stuff. So we could, you know, if a brand was working with a competitive agency, Vayner couldn't do that business. Or if we worked on Coca-Cola, we were always a Pepsi house, right, so we couldn't work on Coca-Cola.
Right,
but Coca-Cola could place an ad on PureWow.
Right. That makes sense.
Right?
It makes sense.
So we added that business, and then, you know, it was just always our culture. Gary's a guy's guy, like, and we were all around, and so we always wanted to do a men's brand, and he wanted to add a men's brand to it, so we did that 1:37 p.m. when that was launched, and I always spent a ton of time on that. And then from there, I took over 1:37 p.m., but actually we did Card Talk before. So I was just always close. D-Rock, Andy, Gary, we were always working on Card Talk or on 1:37 p.m. really close. We all started spending a ton of time on sports cards. Gary grew up with sports cards. Gary was doing a piece of content called Trash Talk.
Yeah.
Trash Talk was super, like a super polished, good show.
Great piece.
Once that started going, I think that reignited Gary's like sports card itch.
Right.
Then Gary got into sports cards and everything just went crazy town in that world. He went to one national, brought his son out there, and then there was just this whole world. Like, and then we were talking with eBay, and we wanted to launch a show, and I was tasked with like who should host the show. And we had been at some of these nationals, and I met Ryan, and I was super into it. Pokemon, I'm like into collecting, and I just like content and podcasting, what have you. And then Lou, Gary's homie, he grew up big sports cards. So we all kind of were like, and then Ryan is the lead of the show. We have a guy from Columbus named Ryan Johnson, card collector too, owns a retail shop, like his own sports card shop in Columbus. It's called Card Collector 2. That's his handle. That's kind of the shot.
I like that. I like
it's Card Collector 2, bro. Sure, and it's because Card Collector was taken. Like, that's how, yo, he just like, he's such a G, bro.
My Instagram, Zachary Owens, too.
Bro, so and it's his love. It's his life. Like, it's what he does. Like, you know, it's not even.
He puts out a ton of content.
He's playing professional sports. I play pickup basketball. Like, that's what's going on. Like, in the difference in how we approach it.
Right.
And he did it his whole life. Boom. And he was working a job and he finally quit. Big inspiration of Gary's. We made him the offer, and we've been doing it 160 episodes, almost I think we've been doing it over 3 years weekly.
Yeah. Weekly. So one podcast a week.
Yeah. Well, it's a weekly show, drops on Wednesdays, about an hour video. We've done some great stuff. So eBay was a launch partner with us for 2 years. Bro, in the height of COVID, we did this thing called Card Talk Live.
Yeah.
We had like 45, 50 different athletes join us. And this was like COVID. Like, you couldn't like
do anything.
This is like COVID, like lockdown. And we went, okay, let's put on this thing, Card Talk Live. 4.5 hours, bro. Just live. Oof. Running. Just once interviews. A week? No, it was just a marathon. One time.
That's it.
Interviews. We were just like ripping and running. It was lit.
That's the way to do it, though. Yeah. Like, live is huge. Like, people
you're
love
seeing
that.
You're seeing a lot of like the bigger podcasts start to do these live shows. Like, there's a market for it.
And we should definitely do another Card Talk Live. So that's how that came to be. And it's currently ongoing. And we all will be at the National in a couple days.
We will. We will. I'm
really excited about that.
I obviously got to work it, but I'm trying to do a little bit of vlog. I want to do a little bit of vlog. I want to, because the National, like, again, like, some of our best friends are huge card enthusiasts. Again,
yeah,
they're,
it's so sick.
I'm excited. I'm actually super excited.
About collecting, because obviously we like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, and obviously like the sports cards growing up, and we probably threw away a lot of money in the grand scheme of things.
Maybe not.
Whatever.
But there's also time.
Of course.
Time.
For sure. You're talking about a whole different life. Like, I don't even remember the shit. Yeah. And it's like, now when I go back and look at like sports cards, the thing with it, like to me, it gives you that energy that like I feel like I always chase in life.
Yeah.
There's just something about like that little kid energy. Like it's the sports cards and it is an alternative investment, like in a way.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously you just don't know if it's going to go up. But it's like, it's just
so fun.
It's just
fun. You guys are going to be,
I'm excited.
You guys are going to be like, what is this?
I know.
That's why people wear costumes.
No
costumes.
Not
right?
really. It's not Comic Con vibes in that regard. But like one, just as sport guys, like you love sports, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Bro, it's just like, oh man, there's old Jackie Robinson worn jersey, like, oh, that thing's worth 3.5. Oh, here's baseball. Anything you can imagine.
Right.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Bro, there's just gonna be dealers set up with just like legend, Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr, like Yammer Yager, like just cool shit. I just could just look at it, you know, especially you burn down a little bit and I'm just like, yo, and you're just meeting people and just 100%. Like talking sports, bro. It's just like, what the fuck? You know, it's super lowbrow. Like it's not, there's no glitz to it. Like the food ain't nothing popping. Like it's just like people there just loving their shit. And then on top of it, bro, you can go on one side and there's a card that's worth 20. And then on the other side, the same exact card, someone's selling for 40. So, like, that's where I just was like, yo, what? Bro, you can buy this card over here for 20. You're in the middle. You can sell that joint for 30. Because people are just walking around. Like,
that's like literally the market.
All day long. Like, it's live market. Like,
that's literally the market.
Like, you can really walk over there and buy some shit for $1. Walk over there and sell it for $5. So, it's like, there's so much shit. And that's when that happened. I'm like, yo, because that's pure business and entrepreneurship.
That's what I'm saying. There's not much like that.
All these levels of business. And as you learn, like, that's really all that's going on.
No, it's just, it's flipping.
That's the core. It's like, someone's going to value it for this much. You know what I mean? You buy a crib and you Airbnb it. It's just margins, arbitrage, whatever.
Yeah. No, I'm excited because there's so many like big time people that like go to this event. So I'm like, all right, if there's a laundry list of like celebrities, athletes that are like,
who's your favorite hockey player
of all time?
Yeah.
Or it's got to be Steve Eisenman.
No, I would say it's kind of hard for me to say this because like I grew up with him and he was one of my good buddies. So like he was one of my good buddies, but it was his dad, Nicholas Lindstrom. So I used to play with Nick Lindstrom's son, Adam.
Yeah.
And
Flyer? Was he a Flyer? Did he play?
No, he Detroit Red Wing. Like the greatest ever.
Was there
ever.
Eric Lindstrom?
Eric Lindstrom. Yeah, Eric Lindstrom, center.
Lidstrom. Versus Lindstrom.
Yeah. Lindstrom was there's no end.
Yep.
One, both studs.
Yeah.
Let's put
both
that
of them.
Out.
Yeah.
Both
studs. Like they're both.
Yeah. But like Nicholas Lindstrom is arguably the greatest defenseman ever to play hockey. Yeah, like, obviously, Bobby Orr is like a notable. You're always going to like.
Well, that Red Wings. It was Red Wings Avs.
That's probably
the rivalry, right?
Like, that Red Wings team is probably the greatest team ever.
Fedorov.
Yeah. Stevie Y.
I'm sneaky with hockey, by the way.
Datsuk.
Henrik Zetterberg.
Datsuk was crazy. Cuck fools in NHL.
Datsuk probably has the craziest highlight film out of
his
anyone.
Dangles were crazy.
Bro, it's like,
I feel like he single-handedly brought dangles into the video game.
That's what I'm saying. Literally, okay, so that's what made Detroit so lit was they were the first team ever
to have a little swag with it.
But no, but they were the first team to bring Russians to America.
That's true.
So they that's why they were whooping on everyone because they were like, yo, we got some of these Russian kids. So like when I played in Detroit, right? Detroit is a hub for hockey.
Yep.
And we used to have Russian kids because the Red Wings. So I played on this team, Little Caesars. Little Caesars is out of the same. Little Caesars is owned. Illich owns Red Wings, owns Little Caesars Pizza.
He has a triple A team.
Teams are sponsored by like
so
big brands.
It's a
like
club hockey, triple A, whatever you want to call it. The Red Wings owns that team.
Yeah.
So they would bring in a bunch of Russian kids.
Farm system. Yeah.
When I would play because there's a thing, what the Russians would do, they were smart. You couldn't get drafted in the NHL playing in Russia.
So they would come
here, they live in America or Canada for like 3 years,
there was a rule you couldn't
there's a
draft
rule,
out.
Like they were like, you couldn't draft them. I think it's changed now.
Did you play?
I played hockey until fourth grade, then I played football.
Yeah.
You stuck it while I played, how'd that all happen? You loved it and they didn't?
Yeah. Honestly, my dad told me that I used to just rollerblade as a kid nonstop. And my dad loved hockey.
Yeah.
So I think he was just like, yo,
you're nice.
He's going to play hockey.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was weird. Like, hockey's in that thing where it was like, I was really good. Then everyone caught up to me. Then I like got good again.
Yeah.
But then it got to a point where it was like, I was big.
Yeah.
And it was just like, but I wasn't like, there's that specialness. There's that specialness, but it's like, and it's like, I always thought like I could have played, like I was playing ECHL hockey, which is like, there's AAA, NHL.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I would have stuck with it, I could have got an A deal.
Yeah,
a lot of
those dudes that like ECHL dudes then are
for sure
bang up, right?
Because it's a developmental league. But like, that's the thing, like for me to go play in the NHL, I got to be a bad motherfucker. I got to fight. I got to be like that. Like, people have to look at me and be like, I'm scared to be anywhere near this guy. Like, that's what it has. That's the mentality you have to have. And it's like, for me, I'm like, do I really want to make $550 a week and fight every week, multiple times a week? Not really. Nah. Not fight grown ass men. Yeah. Not fucking.
Good off that.
Yeah. So I was like, exactly. So yeah. I was like,
but
you
the
know.
ECHL is a lit league.
Hockey's fire. I like hockey
but
culture.
But ECHL,
I like sweaty mitten people.
But to finish, just
hitting wild, like
sweaty, just like
but
just sweaty mitt.
But just to finish the loop on that with the Detroit Red Wings, they would bring Russian kids over, have them play on their teams for a couple of years, so they could go play in like the OHL or go to college, so they could get drafted. And it was crazy, but I'd have like 3-4 kids, Russian kids on my team every year, couldn't speak English. No English. They would just be like, they were always good. They, you know what the crazy part was? They would be like, you know, we're 15, they'd be 12.
So what was the part of their game that was nasty? They could skate and
just
handle the puck?
They were just machines, bro. They're just machines. Like, they're Russian kids are just little, they were just different players. Like, cause you get it. Like, hockey's one of those sports where it's like, you don't, at a young age, you will get kids from Europe.
Yeah.
All over that live. They're like, I moved my whole life to come to America to play hockey or Canada to play hockey. So it's a different realm, bro. When you're competing with kids from Sweden, Russia, now it's fucking China.
It's in their
like
blood.
It's crazy. Like there,
it's also just a mentality.
It's a mentality.
Too. When you move your whole family over there, it's like, yeah, you're gonna play a little harder.
Yeah, you better
just
play.
It is what it is.
You better play.
Yeah, it's real.
People but to take a few steps back, who is Tyler Schmidt growing up?
Yeah, I was. I'm trying to think. Middle school. I was a fifth grade president. I always wanted to do leadership shit. Always wanted to do leadership.
Fifth grade president?
Fifth grade president. No. And eighth grade president, I think.
Damn,
back to back. I played a lot of sports.
Tyler, two times.
I was soft, though, bro. I was soft. I was middle child, total middle child dude with two sisters. I was total mama's boy, bro.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Same. Like, my mom did everything. Like, I didn't sleep out. I wouldn't sleep over my homies' cribs till I was like 14. Like,
really?
I was like a mama's boy for sure.
I love that.
My crib was where all my friends would be at.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was.
And growing up, like, very diverse. Went public school. Like, Montclair is very diverse, both racially and like wealth. And my dad grew up in the town with him and his 9 brothers, and they didn't grow up well off. They grew up down like south side of town. And so also I grew up in a town that most of the people stay there. And so, like, my dad knew everyone. People working in the supermarket, the hardware store. My aunt and uncle owned the liquor store. Like, it was, like, just family everywhere. Teachers in high school, they taught my, like, parents, like, my dad. Like, it was, like, very, like, played lacrosse my whole life. I was a pretty good athlete, but I was small, bro. I didn't really grow height-wise till senior year and then college. Like, I was still growing freshman, sophomore year of college, and I was always super skinny. But I was always, like, school-wise, I'm smart, but I just, it was
didn't,
always
didn't
too, like,
you?
Yeah, yeah. I was just, like, it was too easy.
That's,
like,
that's,
like,
that's kind of how I felt.
School was super easy. I don't
like,
care
anybody.
Yeah,
I just
no,
never
I was,
took the,
I
just, I don't know, and my parents also, like, were kind of that way. Like, the shit that is taken seriously that's not serious, like, I gave no time to.
Yeah.
Like, it.
I always looked at
my Yeah. So like that type, but I would just become friends with the teachers. So yeah, like my, I like be minus. You can always. Like, that was good. You know, like, so that's what I would just knew everyone. I was friends with everyone. I was always trying to be in leadership stuff. I was a senior leader. There was like a senior leadership program in high school and I got put on it and it caused like a big controversy because I got in trouble a couple times smoking weed, selling weed. And
it's my type of guy.
And I got named to senior leadership and this one person, this one kid's parents that didn't get it, like made a huge deal about it because I had gotten in trouble at school like the year before. I had to like sign papers about it. The dude that was running it that chose me, he dropped out. So I was super into tech, smart, athletic. My one homie, my best friend, he was the best athlete in school, had the hottest girl.
Yeah.
We always had good times. Big family, but pretty soft. Inside, yeah, pretty soft.
It's okay. I think we need to drop that dude's first and last name that had
Zach
a problem.
Williams. With, oh, that had a problem.
That had a problem.
Oh,
with
oh,
you.
What was my guy?
That had
name?
A problem with you. Let's put his ass out.
I don't remember.
There's always that one guy. There's always that one guy.
There's always that one. It's the family.
I've
gone
to school with him since like kindergarten.
It's
too.
Like, dude.
There so was like a whole like. You know, like the mom had known me since like kindergarten. Oh, it was like a whole.
No, dude. There was people I graduated with.
Mr. Freeman was the one who held me down though. That was my dog.
Shout out,
Mr. Friedman. Yeah. there was people I graduated with in high school that I was like, I'd seen their face a million times, but you gave me 100 chances to guess their name. I'm taking that 100th chance.
Yeah, but, I don't remember faces very well.
So that's who I was. And then I went to Penn State, like, and my dad went there. It was the only school I applied to. That was I was always going to go there.
Did it?
And then my older sister went there. I went there. My younger sister went there. Like,
so it's a family.
I don't. Yeah, I make a decision and then just go. Like I don't work. I've worked the same place 10 years. Like I applied to one college. Played lacrosse. Is all like.
I like that.
A fun fact, I played lacrosse in college.
You told me that actually at Adrian, right?
Yeah, bro. I was in the weight room and he's like, hey bro, you wanna the team sucked. I mean like sucked. Like if you watch the movie Bad News Bears, that was the movie. Like we had just butterballs running around. Like
I was part of the lacrosse team at Penn State. I was really fucking dope.
Oh, that's sick.
As an assistant, like undergrad assistant.
Oh, okay.
Because I never wanted to play. I probably could have played like D3 or my dad really like had the idea of me doing a PG year.
Yeah.
Cause I grew a lot. Like I was like,
right. You just late bloomer. Yeah.
But I didn't even think of it or even doing like a gap year, but skill wise I could have played. I was just small. But then I went to, but I was like, I'm just going to Penn State. I don't want to play sports. And the coach that was coaching at Penn State, my freshman year, had coached my dad and my uncles. They all played there.
Yeah.
So after my freshman year, he got bounced, the coach, and they hired. And I, my freshman year, I think I had like a 1.9. Like I was just partying. I was like partying ish. I was partying. I just was uninterested in shit. So like, I'm also a person. That's what really changed my life. My girl, we broke up after my freshman year.
High school girl.
Yep, she went to Boulder, and. I was like, crushed. I know. I was crushed.
I was crushed.
And I, like, to me, my mom always said, idle hands are the devil's workplace. Like, I just have to stay busy. Always.
Yeah.
Like, I always am trying to, like, I just, and
that's true.
And so my freshman year, I was just there doing school as a freshman. Just like in the dorms and doing school. I'm like, I have all the freedom in the world.
Yeah, you're partying. It's Tuesday. We're fucking drinking. Chilling, yeah.
Whatever. And I had like a 1.9. Oh, I think you need 12 credits a semester is like minimum you can have to be a full-time student. I did 12 credits, both 1.9. And then joined the fraternity sophomore year, got elected president, joined the lacrosse team. Lacrosse was like 45 hours a week because they hired the coach Tambroni from Cornell, who had just been to back-to-back Final Fours, comes in from Cornell, bro, most legit human I've ever
been. No bullshit.
No bullshit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Discipline. Like, good dude. Like, absolutely. Best dude. But, like, runs a championship D1 level sport program. Like, and came in, and I hit him, like, within the first week I got hired, I just emailed him. Yo, like, anything I can do to help? He's like, come through. I met him. He's like, you want to be manager? I'm like, oh, man. 3-year varsity letter. We were number one team in the country.
You do that for free?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, but that. I was then an athlete. And so starting in my sophomore year, I did pretty much 4 years of school in 3 years. Lacrosse team, did the fraternity president for 2 years. Bro, and I was just waking up at 6 a.m. and going to sleep at like 11:30. And I was just busy every day. That's every good. Day. Every day. 3.8 GPA. Like, I was just like dominant. Like, and that rolled into pretty much quick little blip after I graduated one job, went to Vayner, and I was then it was like, shit, this place it's is popping, bro. This place is everything. And then I linked up with AJ and Gary, and that was like, second I started working with AJ 8 months in, that's pretty much 24/7 assistant life.
For
like,
sure.
So, and that, I need that. Otherwise, I'm like, yeah, you know, I can just chill.
There's two things I pulled out of that. It's crazy that the more busy you are, it's like the more successful you are, because it's like, you know, you probably were like, I have 2 hours to do this school shit. I need to do it because I'm.
But you also cut out the bullshit.
Things. Yeah.
You cut out the bullshit.
Which is like the worst.
You had a lot of shit to do. You don't spend time on the dumb shit that people spend all the time on to make it seem like they got shit to do.
And then the other thing is, moving out here, and me and Joshua have said this probably a million times on this podcast to anybody who comes, it's like, the energy out here is fast. It's fast. Move
it's good shit.
Like, it's gotten to the point where, like, I talked to you about this when we went back to Michigan. I was like, bro, I didn't feel like the same.
Moving,
bro. This motherfucker was a zombie, dude. Like, he was like,
all I wanted to do was sleep. I was like, I just feel like I don't feel the same.
When you get out in the nature, like, when you leave here and go out in nature, bro, you're like,
it's so peaceful.
It's so
cool.
It's quiet, bro. You'll sit there, you're like, fuck. We had people with us. He's like, man, I don't even know why you brought people, dude. Like, we were just chilling. And I was just like, I'm like, bro, you could just sleep. Like, I don't know what the problem is.
This morning, he lives out in Montclair. The homie that was the top athlete.
Yeah.
He's about to have a second kid. He just texted. He just popped a 10 milligram and about to hit the. He's about to hit a 10-mile run. Just popped a 10-mile run. we've been on the gains together. But he was in the city this morning. And he texts me, he's like, yo, the energy is...
It's unbelievable.
It's contagious.
Everyone who comes here...
It's like a drug.
Everyone who comes here says that. There's not a person who comes here who doesn't say that.
The first thing I tell people, I'm like, listen, the time moves different out here. Just like, it's almost like I put that in there because I want them to like realize it. Every person is like, dude, you're so right. It's just like, you wake up, it's 6 a.m. and before you know it, it's like 5 p.m. Like, I can't remember how many times at work. It's like, I look up, I'm like, bro, it's 5:30. I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
I've never had a job where, like, most jobs I've had in my, like, life, I'm just sitting there like, fuck, I got 3 hours left. No. Oh, I got like, here I'm like, fuck, dude, it's already 7, and I got more shit I got to do. Like, you're like, fuck.
Yeah. I guess to answer your question, that's who I was as a kid, but I've, like, really, after I was 18, after my freshman year, and that's when I started, like, I feel like since then it's just been try to do as much as you possibly can, because chilling is
not the thing.
We've talked about that.
The more you
bunch.
Chill, the more you want to
We
chill.
Talked about that on the last podcast with
not
Alexa.
Even that, bro. Yeah. Chilling gives me fucking
anxiety. We talked about that. Yeah. So we had Alexa Lori on last podcast, health and wellness coach.
Yeah.
And that's what we were talking about. She was like, asking us all these like deep questions. We were like, yo, chilling. Yeah. That's the worst thing.
Yeah,
like grinding is great.
Yeah.
Bro, you're working towards something. It gives you purpose. Active. You're like, fuck, I'm working towards this goal. Even if I accomplish that goal, it's like, all right, let's do a crazier goal now. Yeah. And it's just like, that's fun. Yeah. I can't imagine people that are just like, I'm gonna go home and watch Netflix all day. Like, which is good. You need those days. Work, but you need those days, but like, you gotta,
that's why I don't think remote work is healthy.
No.
Especially for younger people.
Like
you want like people say, why is remote work great? You don't have to commute. But commuting is some shit you don't want to do. And when you do shit you don't want to do, that's rewarding.
That's where you get to the other
side. You're like, I did that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's tasty? A beer on Thursday or Friday after you've been commuting, you've been working your ass off.
For sure.
Get back to the crib that you weren't at all day. And you're like,
You relax.
It's honestly, it's hard for me to work at home. Like here, like it was a, we had a good
inspiration. You need creative.
Exactly. But we had a good day today, but like we had three of us fucking working here and we're different energy, right? Yeah. Like that's okay. It doesn't seem like you're working at home.
Yep.
But I need other people, bro. You can't be on a Zoom call. Like if I need to talk to you, I have to fucking call you on Zoom. Now, what the fuck is that? Like, I want to be able to just tap you, like, yo, hey, Ty, what are we doing today?
We accomplished a lot just between the three of us in mini side conversations of context and stuff that otherwise would not have even been spoken
about.
For sure. And how I want to wrap up the show as we wind down here, and you can give a short answer here because I'm actually curious. I've never talked to you about this. Obviously, God, I have two questions, but I'm going to kind of answer it for you because I really want you to answer this one. I know you want to live in New York the rest of your life. We kind of talked about that the other day. And is that due to the energy?
Probably. I feel like if I move out of New York, like I wouldn't be like, oh, I need to get back to New York maybe. But having both is super nice.
That's fair. That's fair. And then the second question on top of that is, what's your life goal?
What's my life goal?
Life goal. You might not have an answer. I'm just curious.
I don't know if I have an answer for that. Like, yo, that toilet is crazy.
I know. Our toilet right now.
I don't think I ever had. Yeah, the toilet like yells.
Yeah, it's yelling at us.
Yeah. It's something I've been thinking about because I never make goals. The only goal I have in life right now is to hit 180 pounds at some point. Just to say,
what are you at right now?
I got there. I haven't weighed myself in like the last 6 or 7 days, but today I'm probably 174, 173, 174.
Shit, you see me at 180. You see me at 180. I'm about to go in the cage and fight because that's where I'm
going. And I'll be, but I'm up for. I was like when I first was like I got to get to 180. I was like 166, and I'm 6'2". I'm skinny, you know.
Gotta get some weight on.
Yeah, so
we're
but
in the right direction.
But my metabolism is so fast, bro.
For sure.
Like, I burn 2,200 calories just
chilling,
walking, just chilling.
So once you hit 180 pounds,
so like I'm 3,000 calories a day just trying to put on weight, which is a lot of food, bro.
Yeah, I got a hard time.
You could do like 5,000.
But bro, it takes time and energy and planning and like
when you're busy, it's hard
to
fucking.
You gotta like really. So you know that's what I'm and I. But I'm trying to eat also healthy. I'm really cooking for myself more. So, but I'm not trying to rush. That's the only goal I have. Life goal. I like to have some kids.
Would you ever be a coach of your kids' sports?
Yeah, I thought for a while I was actually going to coach like high school lacrosse, but I'll definitely coach. You. I'll definitely coach kids' sports at some point.
I told my brother that I was like, bro, you just.
I don't think I could ever.
The only reason why I say that is I used to work for this lady Kim Muir, Olympic figure skater. She's one of two people to ever in the Olympics do a backflip on the ice.
That's insane.
Insane, right? OG, shout out Kim Muir, and. I would work for her camps because she just would. She used to pay the best. I mean, Kim Muir used to pay the
camps
best.
Camps is good money, bro.
Yeah, Kim paid the best. Let me tell you, and I'll tell you what. She'd be paying us like $30 an hour cash, and I'm like 17.
Yeah,
and I was like,
good money.
It was good money, and it was like, bro, I'd be in there hating this job because it's like, bro, you're coaching kids.
Oh,
and
I
they're
like
just,
it. I don't mind it. Bro, not too tough. Young, but the thing is, when
I,
so
if they
for
give
me,
a fuck, I
so
do
my
older
dad
kids.
And everyone, my dad was coaching. My grandfather pretty much started the youth lacrosse program in my hometown. And Montclair, New Jersey was like coming up 70s, 80s, like in the early like lacrosse days was like a like perennial, would win state champions all the time, blah, blah, blah. And my dad and all his brothers played. So growing up, I was coached by my dad, my uncles, and then the high school coach was my uncle as well. So like it was always, I was always coached by family, but there was never private. It was like town stuff. This was the 90s, late 90s. And bro, they didn't start the junior program until fifth grade.
Yeah, it seems crazy.
And you're kind of old, like you're older at that point. Because they weren't about that whole second grader trying to learn lacrosse and shit.
Early.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's
what
like,
are we
like
doing?
That's soccer.
That's just babysitting.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so, yeah, exactly. Like, just kick
soccer,
the ball
yeah.
back and forth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
We'll
like,
kick.
So, no, I wouldn't coach like second grade. But like, it's all seventh grade me, sports, eighth grade sports. For me, it's dope, bro. Like, it's you all can really passion. Impact kids' lives.
It's all about passion, right? Yeah. If they like, if the give a fuck is there, I would be more inclined to do it. That's the reason why I didn't like it in the moment was because like,
but how old were they?
It depended. It ranged, right? It was like from like 7 year olds all the way to like 19 year olds.
It's also why rec is much better because the more expensive the shit is to be a part of. Probably the less inclined the people
that's,
are want to do
and that's,
it.
And that's what because it was.
If the parents can afford exactly. it. It's not coming from a place of passion. It's coming from
exactly.
a place of
let me it was. It was babysitting. And it yeah. was like, these kids were like, I don't want to be here. And mm-hmm. it's like, bro, your parents paid a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
Stop being
there's
a baby.
There's so much money in it now that all the rec leagues are getting torn
that's,
out because all the private.
That's
everyone
a sad,
just goes private.
It's a sad part, right?
Yeah.
It's a sad part.
For sure. Yeah. But bro, Tyler, appreciate having you on. It's been a pleasure.
That was good. That was
bro,
good.
It's been a pleasure, bro.
Love you, brother.
Episode 2 soon.
Episode 2 soon. I never had to tell my dogs we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, they want money more than they want fame shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. We too on par for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on tracks I don't even feel. We bout to bout till we dripping. We bout to bout till we fall. My emotions stay. And I ain't never gon' slip. One by my mama house. Won't see my brothers get ripped. I tell you I'm in. Watch me get my racks. And we bought so hard they think my niggas selling crack. We was pushing packs for 2600 a pound. We was down, probably had some product in your town. But now we back, same straight for all my niggas, call my fam. And I made about 10 racks up off these features in the end. For my grandma, hope she know that this for you and you and him. For my brothers, for my family, for my mama, for my kids. I gotta play for my brothers, I gotta stack out this gold. I tell you I'm on the road. About to get all this dough. Me and no fuck niggas know. I swear to God we the ghosts. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, yeah. They want money more than they want fake shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. So I'm part for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on tracks I don't even feel. We bout to bout till we drippin'. We bout to bout till we fall.